Matthew's gospel, we'll determine which chapter here in a moment. Amen. We'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Oh, glory. What are we talking about? We're talking about the glory. Amen. We've been seeing that there's several things that we can do to enhance the manifestation of God's glory. Amen. Of course, we know what God's glory is. God's glory is His goodness. God's glory is His power in manifestation. And when God's goodness and God's power is in manifestation, it's the Holy Ghost in manifestation, because everything God does in the earth, in this dispensation in which we live, He does through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit is a person. We know in John chapter 13, or John chapter 14, Jesus said, when He, please say He, not it, He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you, He will guide you into all truth, He will even show you things to come, and He will not glorify Himself, He will glorify Me. So we know He's a person, amen? He has a mind, He has a will, He has intellect and emotions, amen? He can be grieved, He speaks, He sees, He has a memory, He even has His own spirit body. The Holy Spirit of God. God has a spirit body. Looks just like me. Looks just like you. It's a higher materiality. It's not flesh like we know flesh. But God has a body. And God has a mind. And He has a will. And He has an intellect. And He has emotion. We're created in His image and in His likeness. Amen. And when He manifests in this earth, it's always a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. So God's glory is God's goodness. It's His power. It's His Holy Spirit. Amen. We've seen that it manifests as cloud, as smoke, as vapor at times. Sometimes it's visible. Sometimes it's invisible. Amen. But it's powerful when it manifests. And the supernatural occurs when it manifests. Amen. And we've been seeing that there are several things we can do to enhance the manifestation of God's glory. Now, maybe we haven't seen it yet, but it doesn't mean we're not going to. Amen. We're building faith for it. Amen. We're building faith for the glory. The Lord said to me up here, what was I teaching on? Something about miracles. And He spoke to me through me prophetically. And He said about 2 months ago now, make much of the glory. So we've been making much of the glory. You know, when you preach salvation, people get healed. I'm sorry, when you preach salvation, people get saved. When you preach and teach healing, people get healed if they believe. Amen? So, when you preach and teach about the glory will ultimately manifest if only we will believe. Amen? So we will see manifestations of God's goodness and God's glory right here in this sanctuary, right in our midst. Amen? We're about to see an outpouring of God's glory on this nation as we're literally driven to our knees in prayer. That's what it's coming to, you know. God's allowing it to happen. He's not doing it. The devil's doing it. But the devil's doing it because humanity's allowing him to do it. But whenever the devil pulls a stunt like he's pulling in this country, you go back and you look at the history of Israel. Every time he drove them to sin against God and they repented, God always responded and moved supernaturally. Forgave them, blessed them, and brought them up again. Amen. And I'm going to say it again. America is about to see her finest hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over till the rapture. Amen? And we have to stay here. We have to be here. And we are to be a blessing in this earth. Our lives are to be a testimony of health and wealth to the people of the world to make them want to sign up for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen? As Barbara said during the offering, He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon us. Amen? He's going to manifest His glory through us. And there's some things we can do to enhance the manifestation of God's glory. We can create a glory atmosphere. That's why we encourage you, when you come in here, and we've just finished praying, if you come to prayer, or even if you don't come to prayer, and you come in and we've just finished praying, to not talk about carnal things, don't talk about what you read in the newspaper, what you saw on TV, don't talk about the strife that happened in work today. Keep the glory atmosphere that we set in here through prayer, so the Holy Spirit will know He's welcome in our midst. He's so easily grieved. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 4:30 to not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him very easily with carnality. Carnal talk and gossip and things that even shouldn't occur in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. There's many things we can do to create an atmosphere for the glory to be manifest. We can earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Like Paul said, desire spiritual gifts. When he said that, he meant, what he actually said was to be hot after the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? If you don't know what the gifts of the Spirit are yet, if you don't know that there's three groupings and nine gifts, grab that little brochure on the table over there. It's free, and meditate on it. Learn the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit operate best through those who understand them most. And when the glory's poured out, you're going to want to know what's happening, aren't you? You're going to want to know, we're going to want to know what gifts are in manifestation, what gifts are in operation, so we can know of a surety what God is doing and cooperate with it and not move against it. Amen? So if you haven't memorized the gifts of the Spirit, I'm encouraging you again as the pastor, take that little brochure, that little yellow one over there on the book table that we wrote, and meditate. Take some time, meditate. Spend some time with it and learn those gifts. And the gifts of the Spirit operate best through those who understand them most. Amen? But listen, there's something else we can do to see the glory manifest. And that is this. We must believe that the glory will manifest. We must believe that the glory will manifest. We must believe that God's goodness will manifest. We must believe that God's power will manifest in our midst. Anything but believing, anything less than expectation, is unbelief. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, 1 through 6, that Jesus could do no mighty works because of the unbelief of His townsfolk. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, that everything written in the Scripture was written for our admonition, for our example, so that we could learn how to do things and how not to do things. Amen. Unbelief, or not expecting the glory to manifest when we come together corporately, grieves the Spirit of God. When we're not expecting, when we're wondering if He really will or not, that grieves Him. Anything less than expectation is unbelief. Faith is expectation. All faith is expecting God to do exactly what He said He would do. And He said through the prophet Hosea, in the last days, I will manifest myself through the former and the latter rain combined. He said it through Joel. He said it through Haggai. He said through the prophet Zechariah. He said, ask or earnestly desire or expect the rain, the glory, to be poured out in the last days, and I'll pour it out like bright glistening clouds. We absolutely must expect God to manifest in our midst. Now, I'd like you to go to Matthew, if you would, in your Bible. Let's start with Matthew chapter 9. You just believe God with me for this message tonight. I've been meditating on scriptures the past couple of days concerning this message, but I'm not exactly sure myself which way it's going to go. I only know we're going to begin here in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at some examples of the glory and expectation, or expectation and the glory. What happened when people expected the glory, the virtue, the power of God to flow on their behalf? Let's just read here in Matthew chapter 9. We'll pick it up right here in verse 27. We're going to move quickly through many scriptures here tonight in the Gospels. It's going to stir you up and bless you. You're going to go home. Amen. And when you get home, someone's going to have to grab you by the ankles and pull you down off the ceiling tonight. Amen. Because you're going to go out of here flying high. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye. You see that? Do you believe that I am able to do this? See, He's putting the faith portion of this miracle off on them, not on Himself. They said unto Him, yea, Lord. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to whose faith? their faith, not his faith. Amen? And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But of course, they were just so, they were exhilarated. They were experiencing ecstasy. They're seeing for the first time in their lives. They disobeyed him, and they went out and spread abroad his fame in that country. Amen? He told them not to tell anybody, because he was trying to keep his enemies from coming against him too soon. Amen? He's laying low. Amen? But look at, he said to them, be it unto you according to your faith. If they did not believe, if they did not expect, he challenged them. He said, do you believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. And he said, well, then according to your faith, be it unto you. Expectation. It's the key to the miraculous. Expectation, expecting the miraculous, is the secret to life. Expecting the supernatural. Now go over to Mark chapter 5. We'll look at another example. We'll just move through these quickly tonight. He said to those blind men, be it unto you according to your faith. And if they said, well, I just don't think I can believe something like that, Jesus, they would have walked away blind. Amen? Hallelujah. Blinder than blind. Mark chapter 5. We're talking about creating a glory atmosphere and releasing faith for the glory tonight. Amen? Mark chapter 5. We'll pick it up right here. Let's go here to verse 22. We're going to do some reading here. Amen? But it's going to bless you. Mark 5:22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Is everybody there? And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. That's a good thing to do. You want to see the glory operate. Amen? Get on your face. Amen? The place for grace is on your face. And he besought Jesus greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Look what he said. Pray for her, Jesus. She shall live. None of this, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's God's will. Maybe it's not. He said, she shall live. Jesus went with him. Guy had faith. Jesus knew the glory was going to operate at that guy's house. Amen? Jesus always went toward the glory, where he knew the glory was going to operate. He went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And look, there's an interruption here. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years she's bleeding. She had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard, please say heard. See, she heard. How does faith come? See, she heard about the miracles. That's what's going to happen around here. People are going to hear about the miracles and they'll come. But first we're building faith for it. Amen? When she heard of him, she came in the press. See, they hear and they come. When they hear the miracles, they'll come. Came in the press behind and touched his garment. See, the glory can go into natural-based cloth and linens. Amen? We see that throughout the scripture. His clothing was full of the glory because it was coming out of his body into his clothes. Amen? Let me just tell you something one time. I was with Dr. R.W. Schambach one time in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Does anybody in here know who R.W. Schambach was? Well, Barbara is, still is, amen. Man, he's a tremendously powerful evangelist, has had tremendous miracles in his ministry. And I was helping him do something in Tulsa, Oklahoma one time. We were in the pastor's suite, and he asked me to help him with something, to do something. And it's a personal thing, so I'm not at liberty to say what it was. But I was holding his coat while I was waiting to walk with him to go and do what he had asked me to do with him. And the anointing of God came out of his coat. He had just preached a message for Dr. T.L. Osborne at the International Gospel Center. And I picked up his coat to go with him. And the glory of God came out of that the linen in that coat and shot through my body. And my teeth literally vibrated in my gums. Literally vibrated in my gums. It was like a supercharge of electricity come out of the man's jacket right into my body. And I believe I received an anointing from that man when that happened. I believe a portion of the anointing that's on his life came into me. Amen? But the anointing is tangible, and it can be transmitted into healing cloths and clothing and be passed into other human beings. Amen? And that's what happened with this woman. She touched his garment. It was full of the glory. For she said, please say said. See, faith is released through the mouth. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. No doubt about it. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that's the power, that's the glory, it's just another name for the glory, had gone out of him. She tapped it right out of him with her own faith. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? He knew something happened. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. See, his disciples didn't understand. Most of the people in that crowd were touching him out of curiosity, not expectation. They were touching him wondering if something might happen. That woman touched him and said, something's going to happen when I touch him. That's how faith works. That's how we tap into the glory, with expectation, not curiosity and wonderment. Amen. And the woman fearing, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. She thought she's in trouble. She's trying to find out who did it. He's looking to commend her, not rebuke her. The woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, that the miracle had occurred and she was no longer bleeding for the first time in 12 years and had physical strength. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And look what he said unto her. He said, daughter, thy faith, not Jesus' faith. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You did a right thing here, girl. And be whole of thy plague. You see that? She did it with her own faith. She tapped into the glory with her faith. If it was just up to God, God would have zapped everybody who was touching Jesus in that crowd. It's up to us to place a demand on the glory. It's up to us to release faith for the glory. It's up to us throughout the week to be thanking God verbally with the words of our mouths that every time we come together down there at the Holiday Inn with the gathering at Cape Cod, your glory manifests, Father, in Jesus' name. She kept saying it in the Amplified Bible. She kept saying it. And the account in Matthew chapter 9 in the Amplified Bible also says she kept saying it over and over. I will touch him and I will be healed. If we can do that. Amen. These are spiritual laws that are written for our admonition. Amen. Okay. While he yet spoke, so we see she received a miracle with her faith. Now, it was a combination of her faith and Jesus' glory, but it was her faith nonetheless. Jesus said so. Amen. While he yet spoke to the woman, there came, remember, the Jairus said, my daughter's sick. He's on his way to Jairus' house when this happened to heal the little girl. Amen. While he yet spake to this woman, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, that she was dead, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't worry about it at all. I'm God. I'll take care of it. What did he say? He said, be not afraid. Don't get into fear. Only believe. Keep believing the last thing that you said to me. Before the woman with the issue of blood came, the man said to Jesus, if you lay your hands on her, she will be healed. Jesus was saying, now stay out of fear and keep believing what you said. He's putting it back on them. Oh, glory be to God. Our faith has something to say about what we do and do not believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He saw the tumult, all the people that were weeping and wailing greatly. He came in and said unto them, what make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, she sleepeth. He wouldn't say she was dead, and he knew she was. He was watchful with what he said, because he knew he would get what he said. He wasn't cooperating with the devil with his words here. And they laughed him to scorn. Amen. They went from wailing to hysterical laughter. And when he had put them all out, see, you got to get the unbelief out of there. He took the father and the mother of the damsel, who, by the way, you notice they never said another word after, put your hands on her, she'll live. And he said, don't get in the field. Hold on to what you just said. Keep on believing. We can get this job done together. Amen. And you never heard him speak again. He took them all inside, the mother and the father, Peter, James, and John. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, kumi, which is being interpreted damsel. I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Cape Cod will be astonished with a great astonishment if we'll just continue to thank Him during the week that His glory manifests every time we come together, and it will, and the miraculous will occur, and the lost will come a running, and we'll lead them to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Pastor, I don't see, you don't want to talk that way. We don't want to talk that way. Amen. Notice Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. It actually says in the original Greek, keep on believing. Hang on to the last thing you said to me. Amen. So it wasn't just Jesus that performed the miracle for the woman with the issue of blood. He said it was her faith in His glory. And the parents of the girl who was dead, He said, keep on believing. Release your faith. Keep unleashing expectation in the glory. We'll get the miraculous done here together. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us tonight. Don't get in a fear. Don't look at empty chairs. Don't look at circumstances. We walk by faith, not by sight. Look at what the Word says. Keep doing what the Word says. We'll get what the Word says we can have.
Amen.
Amen. Remember the Lord said to Charles Capps, He said, my people can have what they say. Problem is, they keep saying what they have. And they keep compounding the problem. Amen. We'll have none of that here. Go to Mark chapter 9 if you would. Amen. While we're over here in Mark chapter 5, we're talking about releasing faith for the glory. Hallelujah. We got a guy over here, a man who brought his son, who had a deaf and dumb spirit, a spirit of suicide. They kept throwing the boy into the fire and into the water and trying to kill this boy. You know the narrative here. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, let's pick it up right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look right here. In verse 21, Jesus said to the father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? How long has this child had this deaf and dumb suicide spirit that keeps trying to kill him? And he said, since he was a child or a little baby, came into him early in life. And oftentimes it casts him into the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion and help us. Humanity should never say to God, if you can do anything. God says to humanity, all things are possible if only you believe. Don't question my ability. I'm questioning yours. Don't question whether I can do this or not. I'm questioning whether you can believe I can do it or not. Whether you will believe that I will do this or not. Amen? Jesus said, well, here's the guy again. He said, have compassion on us. If you can do anything, have compassion. Help us. Look at Jesus. Did he turn around? He put it right back off on the Father. He said, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, don't question my ability. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father, the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter him no more. The spirit cried, rent him sore, came out of him, and so much as he was dead, and everyone said, he's dead. You know, oftentimes when Jesus gets involved in a situation, if you wouldn't continue to read just for a minute, oftentimes when Jesus gets involved with the situation, it looks like it gets worse before it gets better. You see what they're saying here? Everything was fine until the word of faith came along. And now, look, he's dead. That's what they said. And look what Jesus did. See, it's scriptural to look worse before it gets better. Amen? Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, how come we couldn't do that? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. Go to Luke chapter 5. Notice he told the man, he said, all things are possible, but you're going to have to unleash expectation. You're going to have to put your believing feelers out there, amen, and expect a miracle from the Almighty. Don't put it off on God when God's putting it off on you to expect the glory to manifest. Are you there in Luke chapter 5? Did you get over there? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. You see what we're saying here tonight, don't you? Amen? Listen, believing's easy. It's easy to believe. It's easy to believe. Just open your mouth during the week and tell God, I thank you that your glory manifests every time we come together corporately. And as we continue to do that, it'll happen. It's easy. It's easy. But you can't wonder. You have to expect. We have to unleash expectation. Jesus said, all things are possible if only you expect. Amen? Okay, right here in Luke chapter 5. Here's his enemies gathered together. They're out there by the busloads, listening to him preach out in the desert out here. We'll just right here in verse 16. He withdrew himself into the wilderness for a period of prayer. Are you there? And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. These are some of his biggest enemies. Pharisees and doctors of the law. They despised him. They were jealous because they couldn't imitate the doctrine or the miracles. And they had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. There must have been hundreds of Pharisees and doctors of the law. And look at, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And they're his enemies. The power of the Lord is always present. The power of the Lord is present here now. Amen? But it's inert. It's inactive and it's passive until we tap into it with expectation. Until we expect it to manifest. Do you see it was present right there for his enemies to be healed? But they didn't tap into it. None of them that were healed, that is reported here in Scripture. But look what happened as we read on. Behold, men brought a man in a bed, which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, the place was packed, and Jesus is sitting in the living room. They went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, look at that, please say, he saw their faith. See, he saw their faith in action. They were acting their faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. They went and acted their faith, knocked a hole in the ceiling, dropped him right in front of Jesus, fully expecting him to be healed. And he was. Look what Jesus said. He said, man. Everyone say, man. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven. And the scribes, of course, and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who's this speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, read their minds, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, he answered and said, why reason ye in your hearts? What's easier for me to say, your sins will be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? I can't do one without the other, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power or glory. You see the glory? Upon earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This is all a result of them acting their faith. The Bible says, when he saw their faith, he said, man, oh man, oh man, your sins are healed. Okay? And they were all amazed by the miracle, and they glorified God, just like people all around Cape Cod and Massachusetts and New England will be amazed and glorify God when they hear the miracles that are happening on Cape Cod, because a little group of people got together and decided to expect the glory to manifest. To manifest. Amen? Okay, let's go on over here to Luke chapter 8, if you would please. You're seeing how people have to use their faith to unleash the miraculous. It's not totally up to God. God leaves it up to us. You want to see the glory manifest? Expect it to manifest. None of this, if it be thy will. It is his will. We see it right here. Every time someone tapped into his power, tapped into his glory, he said, you did a good thing. You did a wonderful thing. You see how that works? You did that, daughter. You did that, son. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is desirous of every person in this room tapping into his glory, expecting the glory to manifest so that he can manifest the glory. Amen. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. We're not trying to talk him into something he doesn't want to do. We're not trying to wake up a lazy God. God's trying to wake up a lazy people. Amen? A sleeping giant, the body of Christ is. Amen? Look at Luke chapter 8, if you would, please. We're talking about unleashing expectation for the glory. We're going to look at the woman again with the issue of blood in verse 43 from Luke's perspective. Everybody there? A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. It's like doctors today, they tell you it's incurable. Nothing's incurable. AIDS is curable. People, lots of people have been healed of AIDS. Amen? Came behind Jesus, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched or stopped. This is the laws of contact and transmission. Amen? She contacted the glory with her hand, and the glory was transmitted back into her body. You see the law of contact and transmission? And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who did that?" He felt the power, the glory go out of him. Everybody denied, "Not me, not me, not me." And they're all touching him. Peter said to Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the whole multitude thronging you and pressing you. How can you say, who touched me?" And Jesus said, in essence, no, you don't get it. Somebody here touched me with faith. Not wonderment, not bewilderment, not curiosity, not doubt, not unbelief. Somebody here touched me with expectation, and the glory flowed out of me. Now, who is it? He was looking to pass out commendations. Somebody's touched me, for I perceive the virtue, the glory's gone out of me. The woman saw. There was no hiding from him. She came trembling and fell down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. I did it. I did it on purpose, and I did it with expectation, and I was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Whose faith? Jesus' faith or her faith? Her faith. Did it. Go to John chapter 11, if you would. Talking about the glory. Unleashing expectation for the glory. John chapter 11. Listen, believing's easy. Amen? John chapter 11. Hallelujah. You got to watch what you say. John chapter 11. Hallelujah. You got to watch what you say. All during the week, we need to be thanking God that when we come together corporately as a body, that the glory comes into manifestation. The more we do that during the week, and the more we come together with expectation every time we come, just forget the people who come and are offended at the word, and they find fault with the pastor because they're not mature enough to just say, "I was offended by what he preached." So they find fault with the pastor, and they bail out of here, and they call me names, and call my... Forget all that. You are spiritually discerning. You're spiritually mature enough to know you're being led here by the Spirit of God. And God's drawing you here for a person, for a purpose. And that purpose is this: to build faith for the glory, to confess that faith for the glory, and to unleash the glory. We can get this job done. We can get this job done. And then the others will come back ultimately and repent. Amen? We can get this job done. We absolutely must watch what we say about this church, though. No complaints. I know I've continued to say this for months now. No more complaints about the size of the church. Just be thanking God that He's adding to our numbers daily, such as should be saved. Thank Him for the glory during the week. Thank you, Father God, that when we come together corporately, Your glory manifest. You know, in Genesis chapter 11, in verse 6 through 8, those people, those Babylonians, were building that tower. They all got together and they said, "We're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to make our own way to God. We don't have to do things God's way. There's enough of us here. We have enough intelligence, enough manpower, enough materials. We can build a tower to heaven, and we're going to do it." And you know how God stopped them? He confused their languages so they would no longer be in agreement verbally. Because He knew as long as they were in agreement verbally, all saying the same thing, they're going to build a tower to heaven. Ultimately, they'd probably still be building it today, but it'd be way up there. It'd be out beyond the ionosphere at this point. He confused their tongues. Because God knows when people get into agreement verbally, whether it's according to His Word or crosswise and contrary to that Word, they're going to accomplish something because there's power in words. That's why He didn't confuse their tongues to punish them. He confused their tongues to stop them, to take the power out of what they were doing. I said that to say this. During the week, I'm just asking you. I'm imploring you as the pastor to begin to worship Him and to thank Him. Open your mouth and say, thank you, Father, that every time we come together corporately at the gathering, Your glory comes into manifestation. Watch what happens if we get into agreement and stay in agreement. Amen? And you'll see not only glorious manifestations of His power and His virtue in these services, but you'll take it with you and you'll disseminate it everywhere you go. It'll start happening just because you showed up somewhere. You can carry it around with you. Hallelujah. Where did I ask you to go? John chapter 11. All right, this will be the last illustration that I'll give you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, let's just pick it up in verse 1. You know the narrative here. This is Lazarus. Jesus' friend Lazarus died. A certain man was sick named Lazarus in verse 1 of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment. Same Mary who wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Everybody there? Therefore his sister sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, see, he made a faith declaration, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He was not saying God made him sick to glorify Himself by healing him. He was making a faith declaration saying this sickness will not permanently take him unto death, but the glory of God will manifest as a result of His family sending for me. Do you see that? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved that family. They loved Him. And when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He got on His motorcycle and He shot across town and went over there and laid hands on him. It says He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Amen. You know what that symbolizes? You know, there's a twofold meaning in practically everything we read in Scripture. And the Bible says, Peter said, the day is like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years is like a day. The 2 days He waited when Lazarus was sick and died. Symbolizes the 2,000 years that we're waiting for Him to return. That's prophetic. His waiting 2 days and not going immediately to sick Lazarus symbolizes the 2,000 years He's waiting before He comes to us again. You'll see more as we go. But we're talking about the glory. Amen. He abode there 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go to Judea again. And His disciples said unto Him, Master, the Jews recently sought to kill You in Judea, and You want to go back there again? And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. We're going to just have to move on. We'll talk about this some other time. These things said He, and after that He said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. See, Jesus was discerning by the Holy Ghost Lazarus had died. And He's telling them he's sleeping. Just like the little girl Jairus' daughter, He wouldn't say she was dead. He said she's sleeping. And they laughed Him to scorn. He threw them out. She was dead. He wouldn't say so. He knew the power of words, and He raised her up. Amen? But I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. And then His disciples said, oh, Lord, if he sleep, he'll do well. He'll wake up refreshed. They didn't get it. They still weren't getting what He was trying to teach them about the power of words. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of His death. But they thought He had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. They thought, oh, He's taking a nap. He'll feel better when He gets up. Jesus then said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. He was saying, I'm glad I wasn't there because I would have healed him and he wouldn't have died and the glory of God wouldn't be in manifestation for me to raise him from the dead to increase your faith. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, let us go also that we may die with him. Not die with Lazarus, die with Jesus in Judea. They had, remember, we just read, they tried to stone him and kill him earlier. Peter said, don't go back through Judea. They're going to try to kill you. And Thomas said, let's go with them and kill all of us. Trying to show some sort of commitment. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, there's symbolism here, too. Amen? This is the 4,000 years being symbolized between Adam and the time that Jesus came as our Redeemer. The 2 days he waited symbolizes the 2,000 years that will pass from the time he came to redeem us until where he returns again, 2,000 years approximately. And these 4 days symbolize the 4,000 years between Adam's fall and Jesus coming to restore us. Very symbolic here, but we'll talk about that more later. Amen? He found he had lain in the grave 4 days already. That's a very prophetic verse right there. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house, mourning. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, look what he said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, before we go any further, all eyes up here. This isn't what we're talking about, but I want to show you another hidden prophecy in these two verses, what Jesus was decreeing over you and over me when he said this 2,000 years ago. We're going to reread these verses this way. Look at what he said in verse 25, and I'm going to interject something. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You want to get this, amen? He that believeth in me, though he were dead at the rapture, yet he shall live. You get that now. He who believeth in me, though he were dead at the time of the rapture, yet shall he live. See, the dead will come forth at the rapture. And whosoever liveth at the time of the rapture and believeth in me shall not die. You'll get caught up in the rapture. This is a prophetic utterance concerning the rapture right in the middle of this stinking mess. And it's a prophetic utterance concerning you and concerning me. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead at the time of the rapture, yet shall he live, be called forth from the graves. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me at the time of the rapture and is caught up in the rapture will never die. Oh, that's wonderful in there. Amen. So, believest thou this, he said? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had said so, she went away and called her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, jump up to verse 32 for time's sake. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, her sister just said this, my brother wouldn't have died, you'd have healed him. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled by what sin had done to his friend. Amen? And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says, Jesus wept. You know what it literally says in the original Greek? Jesus burst into tears. By what the corruption of sin had done to his friend Lazarus and his family. He burst into tears. And then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which had opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Foolish, stupid things people say when they think they know something and they know nothing. Jesus, therefore, again groaning or snorting, it says, like a horse in anger, came to the grave. He was angered by what Satan had done to his friend. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And he said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. Look at what Jesus said to Martha. Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, if you will do your part and believe, you will see the glory of God. If you will do your part and keep on believing here, even though it looks hopeless, Martha, I'll do my part and I'll pour out the glory. Did you see that? He put it right back off on Lazarus' sister. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus left it. He got her into faith, man. She jumped right back into faith, because watch what's going to happen. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. When he was talking about when he had prayed about Lazarus on the way there. And I know that you hear me always. You heard me when I prayed about this situation. But I'm saying it out loud right now because of the people which stand by, so that they will believe that you sent me and you're doing this. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know why he didn't just say, come forth? Why didn't he just say, come forth? Because if he just said, come forth, everybody in that cemetery would have come forth. He singled out Lazarus because his sister had faith for the glory and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, hard as a rock they were, like a body cast on him. He supernaturally stood him up at the door. He couldn't bend his back, his legs, his waist, his arms. He was in a hard shell wrapped with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes and cloth and linens all wrapped around him 4 days earlier that had been hardening for 4 days. He's in a solid as a rock body cast, and Jesus stood him up in the door. Because Martha continued to believe when the situation looked hopeless. Oh, glory. And hallelujah. He's bound hand and foot with those grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him or crack that thing open and let him go. Amen. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I bet they did. I bet they did. And when the glory manifests through the gathering in other churches on Cape Cod, the people in the world, when they hear it and they come and they see it, will believe on him. That's the purpose for the glory. It's not all about showbiz. It's not about the show. It's about the harvest is what it is. The precious fruit of the harvest. James chapter 5, verse 7 says that the husbandman has great, God the husbandman, he has great patience as he awaits the precious fruit of the harvest. Well, what's he waiting for? Where's the harvest? God's waiting for folks to get into faith about the glory. So when the glory's poured out and the miracles happen, people will come running and we can tell them about Jesus just like Peter in the book of Acts. Shall we stand up, amen, and unleash expectation for the glory in this place tonight, amen. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, amen. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Hey, listen, the Holy Ghost has been moving since April past, the past 8 or 9 months, to get us all on the same page of praying and saying. Amen? And I tell you what, it's taken some plowing. Amen. Some folk, you folks stayed for it. Amen. Others scattered. They're off in other fields trying to eat other people's harvest. Amen. Over in other barns they don't believe in, trying to eat other people's feed. You stayed. You got faith for miracles. You got faith for the glory. It's just time for us to start releasing it with the words of our mouths. And I'm just going to say it again, at the risk of being redundant. All during the week, If you'll just open your mouth when you're in the car, on the job, in the shower, lying in bed in the morning, sitting at breakfast, sitting at dinner, every time it comes into your heart, make mention of it by faith and say, Father, I thank you that your glory always manifests when we come together corporately. See, when we come together, there's more faith to be released. Amen? That's why we're called the gathering, because Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you, and I will cause even the most impossible, the seemingly impossible, to come to pass if only you believe. How do you know if you're in faith for the glory or not? Listen to the way you're talking about the glory. Say, Father,
I thank you
that you manifest yourself every time we come together. Father, I thank you that you pour out the glory every time we come together. In Jesus' strong name. Father, I thank you for pouring out your Spirit every time we come together. The former and the latter rain combined. Just like Joel said. Just like Haggai said. Just like Hosea said. Just like Zechariah said. Just like Jesus said. Just like Isaiah said. Just like Ezekiel said. See, it's scriptural. It's biblical. Amen? We need to say it. We need to expect it. We need to unleash expectation for the glory. And every time you say that, you are unleashing expectation for the glory. It's a spiritual law. It's easy to believe. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, 24, he made reference to the law of faith. The law of faith. Faith is a spiritual law. We can operate in this spiritual law of faith through the words of our mouth. It'll work for anybody. If all of us stood together on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco Bay and jumped off the bridge together, half of us aren't going down and half of us are going up. We're all going down because the law of gravity is going to pull us all down. Gravity works for everybody the same. And Paul said the law of faith works for everybody the same. It's as easy as jumping off a bridge. Amen? It's as easy as jumping off a bridge to operate in the law of faith. All you have to do is say, Father, say it again. Father, thanks for pouring out your glory every time we come together. And then the lost will come running to experience the supernatural. And we'll tell them about Jesus. And the harvest will come in. And then we can get out of here with both barrels blazing. In Jesus' strong name. You see how simple it is to do that? You see the scriptural precedent we have? Jesus told all of these people, be it unto you according to your faith. Don't wait for me. I'm awaiting on you. Do you believe that? Lift your hands and praise Him. Amen.